Well, we all try to save a buck when we can, but sometimes a deal means not getting what we bargained for. And with travel, a cheap ticket can make us pay in comfort and convenience sometimes. Rick Seney is the CEO of FareCompare.com. Always has great advice to share with us, not only about planning the best air vacations, but also making sure that we're smart travelers as well. And Rick, great to have you with us again.
Yeah, it's good. It looks like it's about every month or so here.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It seems like no matter where we're trying to fly, the ticket prices are pretty high right now. Is there any hope of them coming down?
Well, there's a little bit of hope. Certainly, if you look at what's happened year over year, ticket prices up from last year about the same time are only up about 1% year over year. So that's the good news. The bad news is we probably forgot how painful it was last year because that was the highest we ever actually recorded in 10 years of history of airfare that we've been tracking. So last year was really tough. This year, the economy is a little bit tepid. Oil prices are up. Airlines actually have tried to hike fares a dozen times this year, with only two successes. So they haven't been able to pass on fuel costs or anything to consumers this year so far.
It's interesting. If you want to go at an odd time of day or maybe an odd day, you can get a little cheaper tickets, but then you might have three stops instead of a direct flight.
Sure. Well, the cheapest days to fly are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday domestically. If you're flying internationally, midweek or Monday through Thursday is cheaper than flying on the weekends internationally. So, and this actually, if you look at actually the time of year, this is the second cheapest time of year. October, early November, and first couple weeks in December are the second cheapest time of the year. The actual cheapest is the last 3 weeks and the first couple weeks in February, last 3 weeks in January. That's the absolute cheapest. So there's some good deals out there. Unfortunately, a lot of folks have kids, and it's tough for them to get out and actually travel.
You have an article on FareCompare.com, which is called 5 Ways to Get a Cheap Flight and a Comfortable Flight. Maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this is always an interesting question to me, is how much are you willing to pay for comfort over price? For example, a lot of folks, at least business travelers, will pay for convenience. They'll pay in many times 3 or 4 times the going rate for cheaper prices, just for comfort, getting there to their destination on time. There's many airlines that actually have added more comfort creatures. We've got American Airlines just launched a new set of planes that have seat back TVs. We got JetBlue with seat back TVs. We have new sections in cabins where it's only up to $4. I mean, sort of minimum of $4 up to $40 to have 6 inches more of legroom. It's always an interesting question to me how much people are willing to pay. Because just remember, when you're $1 more than your competitor, when you're quoting prices, you're on page 20 of comparison shopping results. So everybody actually sees the cheapest price. My question is, how many of them actually go over there and filter and find out the most convenient price, even if it's $40 or $50 more?
Yeah, actually, is there a way to there's fees out there that we're always paying. Are there ways to avoid these fees?
Yeah, for the most part, there's two fees that actually rake in billions of dollars a year worldwide. And by the way, the numbers just came in for worldwide fees for 2012. $27 billion in fees were collected last year by the airlines worldwide. So the two that catches people the most are the bag fees or check bag fees. And even some airlines now have carry-on fees like Frontier and Spirit and Allegiant. And then you also have the change fee, which just recently increased to $200 domestically and $300 for international, which basically almost makes your non-refundable ticket, which most of us buy, any ticket basically in the $200 range, you're losing the entire residual value of your ticket if you do not make your flight.
Yeah. Carry-ons, you mentioned carry-ons. Is small carry-ons a good idea, or take a small one?
Yeah, absolutely. Carry-ons are the best way to do it to avoid the bag fees. The other thing, too, is when you do buy your tickets, plan on taking that flight, even if it's an international flight. There are some packages you could buy for $60 or $70 where they let you do some last-minute standby and stuff, which can avoid some of these hefty change fees. Certainly, there's loyalty credit cards. If you have a Delta credit card, for example, they waive bag fees. If you achieve elite status, they waive bag fees. Certain credit cards like Amex will pay up to $200 each year of any fees that you're been charged. So there's ways to get around it. And you just have to come to our site, check out a few of the articles, especially when you have families of four. That's the one that really gets hit by these fees the most.
Yeah, I bet. And you mentioned in your article knowing your airport. Why is that important?
Well, first of all, knowing your airport can actually help you get through in the comfort area. For example, certain gates are very busy in many cases at your particular airport. Some of them have kiosks where you can actually check in. Even if you print your boarding pass at home or use an electronic boarding pass on your phone, check that kiosk at the actual ticket gate counter. Many times they're going to offer these 6 inches more of leg room for a discounted price. And so they do that at the kiosk, but they typically don't do it on your cell phone.
And very interesting. We have a lot of people who are interested in talking with you. The number to call, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Art in Milwaukee has a question for you.
Yes, I'd just like to get your take on travel insurance, whether they're good providers, whether you recommend it or not, what to look out for.
Sure, yeah. I have a sort of a simple formula for travel insurance. If the ticket price is over $1,000 and it's to a destination that I've been looking forward to and it's three or four people in the group, I think travel insurance is a pretty good buy, especially if it includes medical coverage and you're traveling to some far-flung international destination. For domestic tickets that are $200, $300, $400, travel insurance just isn't a good buy, to be honest. There's plenty of reputable ones. In fact, every website, both airlines and online travel agencies, has some form of travel insurance on there. And by being on their website, they're vouching for those companies and those particular ones. I remember the worst case that happened was when we had these volcanic eruptions in Iceland, when everybody thought their travel insurance actually worked and certain acts of God weren't covered under them. So you had to really be close and look at that fine print on those particular deals.
Yeah. I can remember a friend's daughter who had travel insurance and was injured, seriously injured, in a car accident in China, which was turned to be a very, very expensive situation and obviously scary situation, but the travel insurance covered it.
No, absolutely. And I think if you're going to Asia or India or even into sort of Eastern Europe and some places where, you may not have as much coverage with your medical insurance, that's what worries me more than sort of missing my bag or my bags getting lost. Almost everything around credit cards covers that kind of stuff. It's more of the medical issues that I think are on these far-flung trips. That's the most important part of travel insurance.
Thanks, Art. That was a great question. Mavis in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. We are going to be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, and next June we have a tentative booking at Ocho Rios, Jamaica, and I'm going to need 9 flights out of Minneapolis and 1 flight out of Chicago, June 13, return on June 20th. I've been watching the prices since July, and the cheapest price is still there, and I'm wondering...
it's in that $700 range, isn't it?
No, $598.
Go ahead and pull the trigger.
Really? All 10 of them?
All of them, yeah. You're getting a pretty good deal. Typically, you don't want to shop this early for that kind of trip. But if you're going from places like Chicago, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, anything under $600 to the Caribbean is a good deal.
That's what I thought. Now, another, do the children involved do not have current passports. They've expired. I don't need that to make book airlines, do I?
You won't need it to make the booking, but you'll have to update the record at some point for your international.
Right.
So before the travel date, they'll have to have their passports renewed, and you'll have to update their record.
Right. Okay. Then another thing is I have enough frequent or credit card miles or points on one card to get 2 flights, on another to get 3. But the one with 2, it's the old Northwest stuff, and they require me to go through Travelocity. Is that a scary thing to try to do?
No, you're perfectly fine. Travelocity is a very reputable company, so it should be no problem just redeeming those tickets. I would definitely, if you have those old Northwest points or miles, I definitely would go ahead and move them out right now.
Yep.
Okay, and then the other card allows me to go anywhere at any time, and they'll pay me back. So that I should be okay if I try to do that too.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, you're doing the right thing. Anytime a ticket price is over $450, like in your case in the high 500s, you should always use your points if you have them.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mavis, and congratulations. 50
yeah,
years.
Congratulations on the 50th anniversary.
Rose in Menominee Falls. Hi, Rose.
Hi there. I have a friend, and we've been going to Las Vegas every Christmas Day for several years, and we started out paying about, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars an airplane ticket. My friend just looked online, and the cheapest she saw for a nonstop on Southwest Airlines out of Milwaukee was $450-some.
On Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day, yes. Do you think there's any possibility that'll change? Will it go up? Will it go down? Should we book it now?
Well, Christmas Day is one of the cheapest days to fly during that period. And there's no really good cheap days during that period because the prices actually increase domestically across the entire North America, including Canada, on December the 16th. So any travel for departure after that, so Christmas Day is one of the cheaper days because people don't like to travel on that day. A lot of football goes on typically on that day and a variety of other things. So I would expect that ticket, and out of Milwaukee, I'm going to take a quick look here right now, but I would expect that ticket price to go down. I don't think it's going to go down much cheaper than like $360 or so, but I think $450 is a little bit high. You're a little bit early in the process. And I can see days, even for nonstops right now, that are in the 350 range around those days. So I definitely think it would come down. I'm looking right now, yeah. So some of those days are actually 500 and 600 right now. Those are going to slide down a little bit, especially on Southwest.
Do the flights fill up? They seem to have fewer flights and fuller flights. Would there be a danger of not getting it?
Well, if you were sitting here, you know, in early November asking me that question, I'd be a little more concerned about it. But right now, I think you have at least maybe a 3 or 4 more week window. So within this 3 or 4 weeks, I wouldn't expect it to go much higher than the $450 that you're looking at right now. I would expect it. You might get a discount of $50 to $70 if you wait and buy at the right time in the next 3.5 weeks.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Don and DePere and his wife are going to Hawaii in January out of Chicago. United, and I assume other airlines offer better seating for a price. Is it worth the additional price, and is there a better time to pay the extra charge for the seating?
Where did they say they were heading?
Hawaii,
yeah. So, you know, in the case of United, they do have their economy comfort, I think is what they call it, or premium economy. If you have elite status, typically you get upgraded to that for free. So that's certainly one area. If you're paying for it, typically on a flight of about, in that case, close to 6 hours, they're going to charge you probably $120 each way for that. In my opinion, on a six-hour flight, that's worth it, especially on a ticket that's typically around $750 to $800, depending on what time of year you're buying it. I just think anything that's 6 hours on a plane without some extra legroom, and I'm 6'1", so it's a bit of a problem for me. If you're 5'6", it's probably not a problem.
Makes good sense. Our guest today, Rick Cini. Rick is the CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com. He comes by about once a month to talk with us about what's going on in the way of air flight pricing and, you know, kind of what's going on within the airline industry. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and like the page while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back with Rick right after the news. Travel's a lot of fun, and that's one of the reasons we have Rick Cini join the program about once a month. I'm Larry Mueller, and Rick Cini is the CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com, and he comes by to help you get the best possible deal, the most convenient deal for you when you fly. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and certainly we always love to hear from you. Rick, are there any good sales coming up?
Well, right now, by every Monday night, we've seen really good sales for prices. I mean, especially from, you know, where you are in the Wisconsin area, it's just sort of nice central location. If you can't get anywhere in the United States for under $350, you're paying too much money. Now, there might be a little bit more expensive if you're going from Green Bay or one of the smaller regional airports, but out of Milwaukee, you know, even out of Green Bay, I've seen some great pricings, and Chicago, Minneapolis, that those whole area, this is the second cheapest time all year to fly. And I've already booked up a couple trips for weekenders, and that this is the best time if you can get away for a weekender.
Perfect. Dale in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Dale. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My husband and I have reservations to hike into the south rim of the Grand Canyon and stay for 3 nights and come out. But now we need to get our airline ticket. So my question for you is it best to fly into Las Vegas or Phoenix or Flagstaff?
Well, the Flagstaff is usually pretty expensive, and it also usually has little 9-seaters and 20-seaters, so I'm not sure how comfortable you are with that. My wife wouldn't get on one of those if I tried. I don't have much of a problem with it. So Flagstaff's a little more expensive. Phoenix is farther away. And Las Vegas typically is a little more expensive. So that time of year, Phoenix is typically your best buy, but you're going to have to do a little more driving. So if you have to look at the mileage that you're going to be driving and the gasoline, so it's usually sort of break even between the two.
Between the two. Okay. Yep. And is it a good time now to begin looking for bookings?
When did you say you were going?
The second week of January.
Second week of January. I'd wait. Typically, you want to start about 3 months before departure. You're a little bit early in that window. I'd wait, basically till about the first or second week in October. That's when I'd start looking. Typically, what we'll see is sales kick in for the first couple weeks in January around mid-October.
Mid-October. Thank you for your help.
All right. Thanks, Dale, for calling. And Jackie in Oshkosh. Hello.
Hi. I have a question regarding a prepaid flight that was canceled. We had been at O'Hare waiting for it, and it hadn't been canceled until within an hour. And we had to forfeit the money. That money was gone. Can you tell me how much the airlines make doing this and what the justification is?
Okay, so if the airline canceled your flight and it wasn't, there's two situations. One, it wasn't their fault, and two, it was their fault. It wasn't their fault, like there was thunderstorms or weather or something like that, which they usually claim. You still have the residual value of your ticket, and you shouldn't have to pay a change fee. They should have reaccommodated you. That's the policy right now. If it was their fault and they canceled it, you should absolutely get your money back.
Well, it was a so-called act of nature, and I wrote them several times and got nowhere. What puzzles me is what kind of profit do they make doing this, and why book ahead if this might happen?
Well, an airline has to sell its tickets ahead of time because of the way their business model works. They actually save seats on a plane to give to business travelers at a much higher rate. Now, in these particular cases, which airline was it? You can go ahead and say
United.
On United. If they canceled your flight, you should have had a plethora of options. Did you actually not get back or take your actual trip and you had to eat your ticket?
We were told that we would have to do that unless we wanted to wait 3 days on a different flight.
Right. So, yeah, in this particular case, if you just send me a note, you can send me a note directly. Sometimes I'm able to sort of break the ice because of my status on USA Today and ABC News. If you'll send me a note to rick@faircompare.com, send me the specifics, and I'll see what I can do to help you out.
I'm wondering how far, I mean, it's great to have you in my corner, but how far-reaching this is.
I don't know how to quantify it, to be honest, as far as, you know, this happens a lot. And on any given day, you have anywhere from 3 to 6% cancellations and, in many cases, up to 20% delays, depending on the weather. So, you know, they're supposed to reaccommodate you. And this is one of the big problems today, is that flights are so full today, over 90% load factor, which means basically flights are completely full. If you do miss your flight for whatever reason, their fault or your fault, there's nowhere to put you.
Yeah.
And this has caused all sorts of issues around overbooking and can they overbook. And I'd love to hear more about this particular. I just don't know how to quantify. I would say it's a significant sum of money.
So, Jackie, send a note to Rick at faircompare.com, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll see if I can break the ice. Another good way when you have issues like this is if you do have a Twitter account, they do monitor those with their PR staff and not with people on the phone that are told to just, you know, get you off as quickly as possible. So Twitter, Facebook, on their pages, those are good places to complain about issues like this.
Thanks, Jackie, for calling. Yasser in Greenfield. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I traveled a few times from Jordan to Chicago, and a couple of times I got, by chance, upgraded to a first class. Totally different, you know, on a 12, 13-hour flight. My question, hello?
Yes.
No, I can hear you.
Okay. My question is there any tricks about trying, I don't know, make it sound tricks, but like any advice anyways about the least amount of money that you can pay to try to get one of those unsold first class or business class?
Sure. Well, cabin upgrades, there's always something associated with it. Getting a free upgrade from one cabin to another occurs very rarely unless you have elite level status at a particular airline. Then the upgrade process is part of the game that you play once you achieve a certain elite status. If you don't have elite status, picking certain slower times of day, sometimes you can get upgraded. Sometimes they'll offer you things via your phone at the kiosk when you get to the airport. Certainly, one big change that's occurred on all these long-haul flights is these airlines are dumping their first-class cabins, creating sort of an all-business class section, and then creating what they call a premium and economy section, which wasn't the case before. Getting upgraded in the premium economy is your best bet if you buy a coach ticket. You know, as far as getting cabin upgrades, sometimes you can find deals. Like, for example, over Thanksgiving and Christmas, United has a deal to London where you can actually get first-class airfare for $1,700 round trip. They usually file that sale about this time of year. So there's ways to do it. It's just very difficult.
Mm. And thanks a lot for calling. Mike in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, my sister just came from San Diego to Madison via Chicago on American Airlines. And on her way back, she decided we would drive to Chicago, and she skipped us the leg from Madison to Chicago. When she got there, they said they would disallow that and it would cost her $1,000 to fly back home. Now, the question is this common practice, and how do the airlines, it didn't make any sense to us that she had given them an empty seat for part of the leg, And is this common practice for airlines to do that?
So basically the rule is that once you buy a non-refundable ticket, if at any point you do not call, even if you miss one of the interior legs of your trip, if you don't call, the rest of your entire trip is canceled and you lose the residual value of your ticket. In fact, Southwest Airlines just was the lone holdout where you could actually just not show up and you maintain the residual value of ticket. Just this past week, Southwest now has a policy that you have to call or you lose the residual value of your ticket. Now, had you called and said, I'm going to miss this and do this driving, they would not have canceled the rest of the ticket and you would have been able to fly the rest of the portion of the ticket. But that is in the contract of carriage of all these tickets.
Well, she did call about 5 hours before the flight. She called to be sure she could do that. and they still disallowed it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, they should allow if all she had to do was cancel that one leg, and they shouldn't have canceled the rest of her ticket if she called. In this particular instance, if you have documentation of that call, they should refund your money.
Yep, absolutely. Good luck, Mike. Thank you for calling. We have Karen in Watertown next. Hi, Karen.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm calling because our son is now living out in New York City, and we want to fly out there to visit him in December. We can fly anytime in December. We can fly on Christmas Day. We can stay less than a week, more than a week. So we're really flexible. I've been looking at airfares and, you know, depending on how much you play around and time you spend, you know, anywhere from, 240 up to over 300 for a round trip nonstop to LaGuardia from Milwaukee. But because we're so able to be so flexible, what is my best strategy for the best?
Sure. Are you flexible on going in the first half of December, or do you want to do it during Christmas time?
Well, no, it would be actually, we're fairly flexible any time.
Yeah, so right now I'm looking at prices. Right now you're looking at nonstop prices in the $235 range if you leave the first 2 weeks in December on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, for example. The prices jump pretty dramatically on about December 16th.
Right.
And so anytime before that on a Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to see prices around $235 to $240. You're never going to see prices on that route, especially on a nonstop, under $200. And they will go up, as you get closer to Christmas time, up into the $500 range.
Okay. Yeah, I've paid that for him to come home from that area in the past.
Yeah.
But how about, like, if we flew on Christmas Day and flew back on New Year's Day?
Would want to do is actually fly on Christmas Day there. That's a perfect time to do that. And then coming back, what you want to do is do it 2 days after the first of the year. So typically that would be on January 3rd. That's when prices tend to go back down.
Oh, no? Okay. So I should look at that.
Yep.
I think I'm going to do that then. But there's no, like, I don't know what the old tricks used to be, like just being able to fly standby or taking your chances, but probably not with two passengers either, right?
No, it's very difficult to do with the flight so completely full. Maybe 5 years ago, but not now.
Yeah. Good luck, Karen. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. We have John in Milwaukee next with a question. John, hello.
Hi. I want to go to Kilimanjaro in East Africa with my son and grandson. And we're flexible with times and everything else. And the ticket ranges, they spike dramatically. I was wondering if the climbing, I would like it to be consistent with the best time to climb the mountain. But is there any recommendations you can have? I mean, could you individually book seats cheaply from here to Europe and Europe to Africa?
That's one option, yeah. You're going to transit typically through London Heathrow, which is the main hub point into Africa.
Uh-huh.
And so no matter what, there's only a handful of flights on South African Airways that actually fly into Africa nonstop from the United States. And they're in only a select set of cities, and that doesn't include Minneapolis or Chicago.
It does not.
Yeah, so you're going to end up transiting through London Heathrow, typically. And in these particular cases, I would price out the tickets from London Heathrow to your destination. I don't know which city exactly that's the closest bigger city that you'd be going into. But you can price them out that way, or you can price them out sort of as a multi-stop trip as well. I'd look at them both ways, especially in that kind of length of a trip. You might want to stop over for a day or two.
Yes. Okay. Do you have any idea what the price ranges should be?
Tickets in this price range typically range between $1,500 and $2,500 in coach.
Okay. I've seen them as low as $1,100.
Yeah. $1,100 would be $1,100. I would have seen maybe 4 or 5 years ago. If you can find it for $1,100, I would snap it up. In fact, I'd snap up anything for under $1,400.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay, thanks for the help.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thank you very much for calling. And Diane in Waupaca, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I would like to go to Seattle towards the end of October when my daughter has a baby, but I don't want to buy the last-minute ticket, which costs about twice as much as buying the ticket in advance. I'm wondering if I can get a ticket now, and then when she calls from the hospital, do some kind of a small fee to change the ticket to a more appropriate date.
Yeah, well, basically, non-refundable tickets don't allow you to do that very easily. Depending on if you're going to Seattle, I'm not sure if Southwest flies that route. If there's one-way tickets, you can actually buy half the one-way ticket and half the one-way ticket coming back. That's sort of the best way to do it. There's also some programs, like, for example, American Airlines has a program. If you pay $43, then they allow you to sort of change your ticket with a minimal change fee, or they reduce the change fee, and that's another option as well. Here's the problem with all these issues. If you do not make your trip, not only do you have a $200 change fee domestically, you end up paying whatever the going rate is at the last minute, which is typically, you know, at minimum $400 to $600 each way.
Yeah, it's about $775 if I were to go this weekend. You know, but it's about $375 if I got a ticket a month out.
Another thing you can do is look at, typically low-cost airlines like JetBlue and Southwest and maybe even Frontier, I think they may actually fly there, they typically have lower one-way rates than the legacy airlines. So that's your best bet, is to sort of look at the low-cost airlines or look at one of these package deals with like American, where you have some flexibility on your return.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. I had a Facebook question from Michelle, who says, my son is stationed in Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. He's getting married in June of 2014. They have a wedding planner. We're staying at the Golden Nugget. Is it smart to start looking for air and room now or wait for the wedding planner to get us a deal?
This is sort of a room question, huh?
Yeah, well, a room and air. She's
So on the air side, this is way, way too early to shop for June. You'd be shopping likely in March of next year to get the best deal to Las Vegas for the June timeframe. Sort of March, April timeframe is when you want to be shopping for that. Definitely way too early. Now, you know, if somebody throws a sale every now and then, even people like Southwest only have their schedules open for 8.5 or 9 months. So even there won't be enough competition there to even look at pricing until next year at minimum.
There you go. And the wedding planner may help with a room, eh?
If this is Oprah's wedding planner, maybe they have some pull, but most wedding planners probably have the same sort of issue I have, is that, the price is the price, and you have to sort of figure out when it goes down, and that's what we do at Fair Compare.
Yeah. Talk a little more about Fair Compare, by the way. Tell us
more.
So basically we sit on what
I would like to call the airline ticket stock exchange. We're one of 10 companies in the world that get the raw airfare data from over 500 airlines worldwide. We have our own system to actually price those tickets. So every hour on the hour, we price every route in the world for every day. And we have been doing this for almost 6 years now. And that gives us unique insight into when prices drop, how they drop, when they should do. And every route's different. So on our site, we try to show all sorts of advice about when to shop, when to buy, is it a good price or not. And we just want people to have all the information they need to make a good purchasing decision.
It's faircompare.com. Annie and Racine, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking to book from Milwaukee to Miami in February. I want to take my husband to the boat show in Miami.
Oh.
And so I'm looking at February 16th or 17th depart time, asking you when do I book for best price?
Yeah, typically you would want to start looking about mid-November for that ticket.
Okay.
First of all, and you shouldn't pay any more than about as long as you stay away from President's Day weekend. It might be on President's Day weekend. That's typically a little bit of an upcharge there in mid-February. As long as you stay away, you're looking at about $250 to $260 round trip. You do need to check Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Right now, Fort Lauderdale has been running about 10 to 15% cheaper than Miami.
Oh.
And it's only about the difference, depending on where the show is, may actually be closer to Fort Lauderdale Airport.
It is. It is. Yeah. Which airline do you suggest?
Well, right now you have multiple choices out of Milwaukee. Certainly AirTran or Southwest, part of AirTran, that's one to check. Certainly for that, especially if you're going into Fort Lauderdale. Certainly I would check both Delta, American, and United. All of them actually have pretty good rates in there. And if you're paying over $250, you're paying too much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I enjoy your site as well. I'm looking all the time to see what they have.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Julie emailed us. She says, I'm in Milwaukee and flying out the Monday before Thanksgiving on Southwest. How early do I need to be at the airport? The flight leaves at 7:30 in the morning. Also, anything I need to know about Southwest as far as perks or problems?
You're going to have to get up when the paper carrier is throwing your paper.
Yeah.
Typically, during that time frame, the recommended time frame is 90 minutes to 2 hours for a domestic flight. Typically, it's 1 hour. The main reason for that is just the huge volumes that come to the airport during that time of year.
Yeah, do you want to? I'm one of these people who likes to get there early. I would rather be there early than just be rushing through the airport or have some problem.
I'm sort of the opposite, but when I travel with my family, I have another family member that likes to be early, so I've learned to just sort of go to early and go with the flow.
Well, sometimes it just saves a lot of. I don't know, social issues that can come up within the family.
I fly a couple times a month, and I'm used to sort of sliding in sort of at the last moment. So all these make it painful for me. But on holidays, I do, especially at airports, I like to look at the traffic reports and make sure everything's going okay.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. Rick Seney, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. It's always great to have him with us, and certainly we'll have him back and talk with him again on the program. I hope you'll join us tomorrow, Garden Talk. My gosh, Friday already. Lisa Johnson is the UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Dane County. She has some great advice for getting everything from perennial flowers to trees ready for winter. And she'll have some special tips for what the current drought means for our plants. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.